Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. We are ready to have a great time. How you doing today, ABB?
I am doing great. I feel like I played some disc golf this week, and I feel like I'm back. I feel like I escaped the bottom third. I escaped it. So had a solid round. You know, don't underestimate just good shot selection and not trying to kill the disc and just playing for par and get a birdie if you can get one, because it tends to work out.
Dude, amen. Amen. I mean, I was playing some League of Legends, your old stomping grounds. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting on that time. I realize, you know, you've got a whole kid situation going on right now. Silas about it when I was up there. I was like, Sci Guy, I know Fortnite's not working for you right now. I gotta get you and Brad to hop on the league train with me and come back.
That's a toxic train for me. That game caused me a lot of heartache and anger that I just don't want back in my life. But it would be fun. With friends.
Yeah, as long as you have five friends with you, it's super fun. Yeah. It does get toxic when you add in random strangers that you think, do these people have fingers? Are they playing without fingers right now? Maybe that's what it is, and I'll just believe in it. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I was playing league with some random people, or I was actually playing with friends in the Birdie Fam, and we were just talking shot selection, things like that. And I hit him again with the, like, if you can throw 250 feet with some accuracy and just make 20 foot putts, that's 900 rated golf. Like, if you can do those two things and you are not playing 900 rated golf, decision making is 100% holding you back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we played Timbrook for our weekly. Number one, I found someone generously turned in a beat-in Electron Envy into the used bin that has perfectly replaced the one I lost like months ago. Ooh. And I narrowed it down. I narrowed down some like bag and shot selection so I'm not confused and I have some like subconscious confidence. And I went 8-under there at Timbrook, and I got, that's with two bogeys, and I didn't get the two easiest birdies on the course. There's still some room to grow. Still some room to grow, but I did feel good with my putting. I've spent a little bit of time, and I kind of applied an old like archery technique about like more of like instinctual like feel versus like really thinking about, okay, well, here's like, I'm aiming at this chain and I need to make sure I come down this far. I need to touch the inside of my thigh before I come up. I need to make sure I kick my back leg out. I'm just like, all right, I'm just focused on anything inside of 25 feet. I'm just making sure that I like shake hands with a basket and I'm pointing directly at the basket, and it helped. It helped a lot. So, dude, hey, if this goes out to everybody out there, if you've had a rough couple months of disc golf and you're like, I want to give up, I'm caught in the quicksand of just can't get out of these terrible rounds, you will come out of it. I will say this too. I went out and I was like, I'm just going to like enjoy playing today. And if I have a bad hole, I'm still playing disc golf. It's still fun. Mindset helps, and I will take the stance that putting is very mental. For me, my tee shots are like extremely like mental dependent. Like, if I have a good attitude about it, I pretty much throw a good shot. If I have a bad attitude about it, I'm going to throw a bad shot, or I'm down from the last hole or whatever. You know, no like revolutionary like thought process here, but just from someone who's really trying to play and actually trying to get better. That's just stuff I'm trying to focus on at the moment. Hey, that's your Breaking Brad update for this week.
I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it. Yeah, that's, you talk about like 8-down, but missed the two easiest birdies, had, two bogeys out there. I think like as a what's happening in the Robbie C like universe, we had to keep it 1,000 this week. And so we achieved it at a pitch and putt type course.
Heck yeah.
And when people looked at it the first time, they were like, oh, this looks so easy. This course is so simple. And it's like, I'm not trying to disagree with you. I am not trying to say that this is the hardest course in the world. I would never look at PQ Shorts and say, oh, this is the hardest course in the world. Mm-hmm. Is every hole birdieable at PQ Shorts? Pretty much. All except maybe hole 17, easily birdieable. The rest of them, yeah. So the thing is, though, is that most people can conceptually see, oh, yeah, I could see birdieing all these holes. Mm-hmm. But what you're not anticipating is actually birdieing all of them in the same round.
Yeah.
Because when you've hit five birdies in a row and then all of a sudden you have a 25-footer, that 25-footer, depending on if you're a pro, mm-hmm. you're like, I'm just in the zone. I'm putting it. Easy. But if you're not a pro, it's really hard to not let those birdies build up and like, oh, I'm actually like having a pretty decent round here. Mm-hmm. And the pressure weighs on and all of a sudden it's like, all right, cool. Or in a situation that you were in, Brad, of like, you on one of the, probably the easiest hole of the course, mm-hmm. you were playing for the win that day because y'all were playing tax. Yep. So you didn't even run the putt.
No, nope. And I made the second one. I just tried it to see if I could make it and I made it.
Yeah. And so it's like, well, was it the right decision to lay up? Should you have just kept your foot on the gas? Like, should you have done that? And that's the debate. That's the beautiful part about strategy in disc golf is you also can't look at a scorecard and go like, oh, that was the whole story.
There's more to it, but yeah, I think there's again a lot of room to grow for sure.
And speaking of growth, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing an in the bag first. We are 93 episodes in, and when we were talking about this, we realized we've never talked about my bag.
True.
We've done a couple episodes of Brad's bag. We've got Breaking Brad happening this year. We've obviously had quite a few of you on talking about your bag, mm-hmm. but we've never actually dove into my bag. And so while it's there in Disc RPM, I think that's one of the cool features of Disc RPM community is that Brad and I's bags are there. And we wanted to try to do our part to make sure that it stays updated, that you guys can see what's actually in the bag and whatnot, mm-hmm. which is another fun thing. Like, I was telling Brad off camera, I'm going to drop it in the bag on my channel here soon. But funny, because anyone who is in the like our Disc RPM community, you're just going to know what's already in there. Mm-hmm. All you're going to hear is like, here's what I actually use them for. Here's how I do that.
Right.
So we wanted to give like a little sneak preview to the audience, but also bring you in on a problem that I am having right now. And that is, I am suddenly... Not suddenly. It's not been sudden at all. It's been a very, very long process. But power is hitting more so than ever before inside of my form. And so I want to address a problem that I think lots of folks will say about a disc and then walk through, here's how certain things are flying for me. How should we adjust? And kind of walking through with Brad on like what options should I consider? Because there is... Really, my fairways are the most confusing part of my bag right now, and I'm just trying to figure out what I need to do in that area. So here's the problem that I want to start with, Brad. This disc is too flippy for me.
Okay.
How many times have we heard that, not only on In the Bag, but like you've worked the retail store several times? More than you can probably count at this point. Mm-hmm. How many times do people come in and you're like, hey, what can I help with? What are you looking for? Oh yeah, I throw this strike, but it's just too flippy for me. Mm-hmm. You hear that often?
Yeah. I usually work the retail store on Wednesdays. And I'm thinking of last Wednesday, I think I heard it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. I'll work our local retail shop from 2 to 5 today, and I know someone's going to walk in. I'm going to be like, hey, welcome. Are you looking for anything specific today? Or are you just kind of browsing? And they'll be like, oh yeah, no, I'm having a hard time with this disc. And So I expect to hear in a 3-hour period, I expect to hear it a lot. Mm-hmm. And let's be real. I've said it before.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've said it as well, Brad. Like,
same. Yep.
We look at a disc and we're like, it's too flippy. And the example that I always like to go to is Garrett Gerthy, who throws farther than any of you. And I think that's, I'm okay making that statement. Mm-hmm. When I say you, I mean me, I mean Brad, and I mean you as a listener.
Yeah.
If you throw farther than 600 something feet and you're listening to this podcast, please leave a review and let us know.
We have a lot of questions for you.
I would love to know that there are people throwing over 600 feet that are listening to this podcast. So I welcome. Glad you're here. I highly doubt it, but I would love to know that. But Garrett Gerthy bags a Wombat 3.
That's true.
And I have met people before that are going to tell me a Wombat 3 is too flippy for them. So how do we balance a world of there should be no disc in the world that is, quote, too flippy unless you're using it for the wrong shots?
Yeah.
That's Brad, have you thrown a Rollo?
Yeah, it's fun. It is flippy. I mean, even for me, it's flippy. Yeah, but I think those type of discs, I was going to say the same thing. It's like they may be very flippy discs and maybe they don't fit your game or like what your particular shot type is or like game is, but it's not too flippy for you. You just maybe don't have the utility for it.
Yeah. Or maybe your course isn't asking for the shots that you are throwing that on, or it's a realization that to throw this disc, I can't throw it full power. If I step up with a Rollo and I try to throw my Rollo like I'm going to throw one of my Raiders, bad things are going to happen. Or maybe not bad things, but it's going to roll. Like it's going to do its thing. And I just have to understand, I cannot throw that. I can't throw my Polecat the same way that I can throw my Picks. Like if you were to put Precious Child and my Polecat side by side and be like, okay, what do these do differently? When thrown at a moderate power, they do absolutely nothing differently. Like their flight is the exact same. But when thrown full power, my Polecat, unusable. Like it just burns over. But you know the cool part is? It's not too flippy for me.
Right.
A crazy concept here, Brad. What if I just don't throw at full power?
Well, that's, and it's funny that you mentioned this concept because I think this is what made me like maybe play better golf this week is I was not trying to kill everything. I wasn't trying to like, I didn't like set a power and like throw everything that power. And for me, I love the uplink, but for me, not throwing super far or super powerful, like the uplink can be unusable if you try to throw at full power. And you know, I actually used the uplink several times again and just kind of smoothed it out, put it on enough hyzer. I knew like how much it was going to flip up and turn and use that to my advantage. And I had more control. I was hitting gaps because I wasn't trying to like rip something. I could actually have some finesse. So yeah, definitely. I feel that. And yeah, uplink, if I throw it at, 90% power, it's going to just turn over and burn. But if I throw it at 50, it has a ton of glide and it has like this nice smooth flip up and turn, which is a good shot to have.
Yeah. So in Vlogmas, I shot a video with the Swanky guys. We did like a little go to the store, a budget challenge. And I walked straight to the used section, grabbed a used putter. It was a Wizard. And then I walked over and grabbed a brand new Star Rollo and was like, I'm going to win this round, like easy with this Rollo. And the Rollo ended up going into my bag. And there are moments where, yeah, you get to use it and it is okay. Like I have a standstill shot. I'm pinched off in the woods and I don't have access to full power. What a beautiful disc to have. And yeah, the uplink shining there, like Timbrook especially, I feel like even you get to the back nine, you just end up in so many, or even the middle nine, I guess is probably the better way to put it. Like there's so many weird kicks and lies that you can end up grabbing that half power uplink shot is the throw.
Well, for those of you that are familiar with hole three on Timbrook, that's my shot of choice now, because I'd rather just throw a nice, easy shot, flip it up and like turn into the gap and I aim for the actual fairway, the ground, and it skips up into there. And even if I get like a little too much flip, it's still skipping me. I was still within like 20 feet of the basket. I had some trees to get around. I got a par, but it's better than being outside the gap and trying to do a weird anti choppy forehand or like a thumber through the trees. It gives you like a little bit more options, like to your point, the power down thing, because I can't, if I'm 50 feet from the basket and like my disc requires me to throw a full power to get the flight that I want out of it, there's no way that's going to happen.
Yeah. So this conversation about flippiness is, as power continues to grow in your game, you're going to find discs that originally did blank for you that now do blah for you, whatever that may be. So I've been looking at my bag lately and I have shifted some things around. So if you're one of those people and you've been seeing my bag, I guarantee you coming into this episode, it looks different because I have changed some things around, added some discs. I've been tinkering around. This is going to be pretty close. I thought was going to be pretty close, I guess is the better way to put it. But a couple of weeks ago, I went and filmed a video. I am trying to season in an Origin for my mom because I think that the Origin is just such a beautiful disc for anyone to be able to throw. And we know that the top pros in Kyle Klein, he bags an Origin.
Yep.
So we know it's usable for most people, but there are people that are going to look at it and be like, oh yeah, an Origin. Too flippy for me. Let's put it in the right context, things like that. So I go to throw this Origin. It's basically a one disc round with this Origin, and I throw it and I watch on this 330 foot hole as it stands up, goes to flat, turns all the way over, and probably moves 180 feet left to right. I went from throwing down the middle of one fairway to these holes like sit adjacent to one another. I threw from the middle of the fairway on the left to I landed on the left side of the other fairway coming back.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, if you've watched Foundation content, if you've watched my content, you know I'm in a grip lock phase. And that's not I'm not trying to pick a side on grip lock versus tour life, but I'm in a grip lock phase. I am full sending things to the right. And I thought, you dummy, you have grip locked that so hard all the way over there. What are you doing? So then I grab my overstable glow wizard and I go throw it again. And sure enough, same result. And I thought, okay, that wizard is way more overstable. I modified it to be a 2303 because I think it's beef, but it burns all the way over. And I was like, yeah, that's what you did. You grip locked it. But the beautiful part about doing YouTube content for a living, this is all filmed. So I was like, let's check the tape, baby. So I go and I look, and sure enough on the wizard, exactly that happened. Like my release point is literally across my chest. My chest is fully turned towards the fairway and it is hard grip lock to the right. And I was like, okay, well, confirmed. I don't even need to check this Origin, but you know what? For comedy's sake, let's do it. So I do that and I send it to my coach and I said, looking at this release point, because like looking at it, what do you think happens to this disc? And they were like, oh, flips up, rides beautifully. Great shot. I said, psych, it actually stands up and turns all the way over because my chest was in the right position. My hand was in the right position. I hit this disc with so much power that it just stood up and it turned all the way over. Now, where does that? So now I'm like questioning, okay, what do I want to do? And so you have a disc like the Rollo that is that easy, understable utility. But the Origin, we all know, can beat in quickly and become a very easy, understable option. So I already know that once the Origin gets flippy enough, which shouldn't take that long, the Rollo will come out.
Mm-hmm.
But preface, do I ever think that an Origin can get, that a Neo Origin can get as flippy as a Rollo? No.
Right.
I will just go ahead and say that. And like, I think that is an issue, Brad, that people come into quite often. I don't know if you agree, is it's when we move discs around in the bag, it's not that we're trying to replace that shot exactly. It's the options and opportunity that that shot gives us that we should be looking to replace.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we've kind of talked about this on a previous episode or two, like highlighted it briefly. I think that's where, you know, we never want to recommend a disc that does like one thing for somebody, because we want to give like the shot options a disc can give. And especially with like beating in discs, I think that's a dangerous trap to fall into as well. Cause you're, to your point about this Origin, maybe this Origin's like a unique Origin. Maybe, you know, the uplink I have is a unique uplink. Maybe not all of them may be the same when you grab them off the shelf. So you have to be willing to say, okay, it's a shot types that I need, not the disc particular that I need. So no, I think it's like that's some good wisdom on that. Yeah. Cause I mean, there are base plastic Origins that can get pretty flippy, but still the Rollo to me almost feels like a fairway.
Yeah.
Also, so it has a different hand feel. It's maybe a little bit more roller friendly too, versus like an Origin or something like that. So they are very different. So if you are looking for a Origin that flies like a Rollo, or a Rollo that flies like an Origin, maybe consider finding either one of those discs and getting them to the spot that you want to. Or that's why used bin shopping is great. I love our used bin section. It's so fun because, like I said, this that envy that I had, I know what I needed, and two options were going to happen. I had to like get an Electron Envy and beat it into that point, which I'm a dad of three right now. I don't have as much time to play disc golf as I need to beat that in, but
yeah,
someone did it for me. I knew exactly what I needed, and it was a very specific group of shots that I needed. I couldn't really, I was struggling to find it. So I think looking for the shots are way more wise, like way to look at this than looking for the disc.
Yeah. And like, There are utility discs like a Rollo that I'm only going to like, it is a nice safety blanket at mm-hmm. times of, I know that I'm not like, I couldn't tell you in the last 3 weeks, the last time that I used the Rollo
mm-hmm.
during an actual round. I filmed a lot of rounds with my back and I cannot tell you when I used a Rollo last. I know that next weekend, we've got Birdie Fam coming into town, and I'm playing a lot of doubles that weekend. I'm going to use that Rollo so many times. It's going to be amazing. I've got a 250-foot island, and if my partner throws a decent shot, I'm 100% going to try to park the island with the Rollo, because why not? That'd be incredible. Yeah,
it'd be great.
But like, other than the memes, I'm not going to it very often. So I got to ask myself, if I got rid of the Rollo and replaced it with a somewhat seasoned Origin, would I go to that seasoned Origin more often because it presents more shot opportunity? And I'd be willing to bet the answer is going to be
yeah.
Because even when I look at the top end of my bag, which I'll go ahead and jump over, because I'm really not, the top end of my bag, it should be on the screen for you guys to see. Brad and I were talking about it. It looks like there is a chasm in terms of my drivers, because the Raiders are listed at 13.5 minus 0.53. First off, all except for that Fusion Raider with the Renegon die, I would say close to those numbers. The other two, absolutely not. Like, they are not a 0-3 fade, for sure. And the Strive, I've got the Strive from the Royal Box in there. I'm bummed because I shot a video with that Royal Box and then I messed up the audio and I didn't even send, like, Silas has never even seen that video because I realized I messed up the audio and I filmed a whole video like with my honest reactions to the discs. well, can't film that again because I already know how they work. But the Strive surprised me. I think it's coming out in March. You guys, as cool as the Brave is, and the Brave is amazing, I think the Strive is even better, personally.
That's great.
So I have that Strive in there, but originally I had a sale in there, and I've used that sale a good bit. Like, probably one of my proudest shots that I've ever thrown in Lynchburg was with a sale, and it was a good enough shot that multiple people there that round looked at it like, do I need to put a sale in my bag? Like, it was a fun shot, and I was able to use it a lot. But I can use the Strive to do very similar things that I can the sale, while also having more shot opportunity. So, like, while it looks very congested up there, and while it looks like I'm missing something, the Strive can accomplish what the sale could mostly, while also giving other shot opportunities. So I'm a big fan of that personally. I know Brad, like you said, we talked about it. Is there any disc that you've had in your bag, Brad, before I dive in? Because I realize this episode I'm going to be talking a lot. So are there discs in your bag that have been like, oh, I had this, it was super utility, and you have since pulled it out to put something else in that gives you something close but other options?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that Envy is a good example, because I had the Shaman, the Connor Shaman in there, which I really like, but I really didn't. Number one, I'm just not super familiar with it, so I had some like learning to do with it, but it also gave me this like kind of very like narrow shot type where I wasn't going to something. Basically, let's just say the whole putter situation, because I had like a new Cosmic Electron Envy, and then I had the Shaman, and then I had the Inner Core as kind of like the pairing. And it was always like, okay, do I go to the Shaman or Inner Core here? Okay, the Shaman, I kind of almost throw more like a mid than a putter anyway. But if I want that shot, I'm going to throw the Origin, not the Shaman. And then the Electron Envy was like overstable, but not as overstable as I wanted it to be, like my Eclipse Envy. But I took that out because of, for whatever reason, it was slipping out of my hand this winter. So I kind of had like this, the throwing putter in my bag, I'm usually really confident with, and I had no confidence. And like the Shaman and the Inner Core, unfortunately, were just like such unique like shot windows that I was like taking up spots in my bag that I wasn't going to, and it was causing me to go to like discs that were the wrong shot. For whatever reason, that Beaten Electron Envy gave me like a lot of confidence, because it'll flip up and go straight, but won't turn right now. It has a little bit of fade. And then that allowed me to put the Prism Proton like Eagle Envy in there, which I love. It has like that nice overstability, but has a lot of glide, even compared to like an Eclipse Envy. So like I had those two shots, and then it really allowed me to like not have any shot confusion at all. So, and then really the other disc that's in danger right now is the Peppermint, to be honest with you.
Really?
It's like that, like really overstable, like approach. And I really have it in there for like just like those choppy forehand lines that I need, or something like Spike Heiser, but approach wise. But I really don't find myself in that situation a ton. And again, I feel like I'm like, cause I might eat my words at some point this year, but I'm not going to be a guy that carries like 30 discs. Like, that's not who I want to be.
Yeah.
So I really want everything to fit in my Pioneer. And I feel like if it doesn't fit in there, I'm like shoving extra discs, and then there's stuff that needs to come out, because I don't need to carry that many discs. But where I'm really feeling like that Peppermint is like, it's so niche for me, again, with how overstable it is, it has to be a very specific scenario. Now, that may be something different for someone with a massive forehand or like massive power, right?
Yeah.
So that's definitely in danger. As far as other ones, I mean, I've had a series of drivers and like overstable fairways or distance or control drivers that have just come in and out, because again, they're like very specific scenarios. And I'm testing one out now, which is the Falcon from Millennium. I'm just trying to test it out. But yeah, not to get on the tangent there, but really the Shaman, unfortunately, and the Inner Core were both those discs that I really love both of them, but they're so like niche shot wise that they came out. And I'll again credit that for how well I played the other day, because I was very confident. I threw both of those Envies, the Proton Envy and that beat up Electron Envy more than I threw any other disc. And I just tore it up. And also, you know, hole 16 at Timber, for example, the one that's like right on the edge of the hill before the slope of death. Typically I'll throw a vulture really wide and have it like flare skip up to the basket, and it works like 60% of the time. Other 40%, I'm either too far away or over the hill. Yeah. And I just have the confidence. I'm like, okay, I know what this Envy is going to do. I can just pump it out there. It'll go straight and it'll sit nicely. And I was within like 8 feet of the basket. So there's definite discs that have come in and out. And as I'm trying to get better and trying to be more competitive, it's happening less because I'm trying to like really stick to some stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I think for you too, Robbie, like you have a better forehand than me, and you can throw stuff a little more of a stable, but you have like, for those of you, and I do want to point this out. I know not everyone's a visual watcher of this podcast, and someone even commented on our Instagram. So we're trying our best to like describe and what's going on screen to everybody. So in Robbie's bag, we're talking about mid ranges. He has a Rollo all the way on the right side that's very understable. Then you kind of have that good solid mid where you have like your Origin that's like a little flippy, and then like your Reactors, that one's like more straight, one's a little more overstable. And then you have your Justice all the way on the other end, which your Justice, if I was comparing to something in my bag, is probably more like my Quake, but the Justice is definitely more overstable than the Quake. Is it more utility for you Justice wise, or are you leaning on that a lot?
I would say it's definitely utility for sure. Because with pigs, I like having, part of why I end up cycling pigs as often as I do, because I have definitely seen some pushback from the community on like, you have too many pigs. All right, this man has 60 pigs in his collection. Okay. Once again, reminder everybody, yes, I have 60 pigs, but I'll explain how often I need to recycle them here in a second, but also know that I give more pigs away than I do any other Frisbee in the world. Yeah. Like there was a time where I gave away my overstable, like throwing pig. Literally, I'd put one in the bag, I would play around with it, and then I would meet someone at the end of that round, and they'd be like, oh, dude, you know, Robbie, you always talk about pigs. I never tried one before. And I would be like, okay, here you go. And I would just pull that pig out of the bag and hand it to him, because it's there. Someone bought a bag from me the other day, and they were like, I wouldn't be sad if my first pig was in that bag. So what did I do? I just reached into my pig box, literally pulled one out, threw it in there. So I love giving away pigs. So that 60 stays pretty constant because I also get an influx of new pigs as well. So it refreshes itself. But for me, if I'm throwing, like I can throw a pig on a forehand. Part of why I love the pig is because I had the AVR X3 in the bag, and I found it 250 feet on a forehand or beyond, which actually shocks me because Germ has a better forehand than me, I would assume. And he bags AVR X3s. So I've now met Germ in person twice. The third time's the charm is where I'm going to ask, like, how far do you trust your AVR X3s to actually fade? Because for me, after 250 feet, they stopped fading. They just went dead straight. If you gave it enough power to get to 250, super straight. So the pig went out to about 280, not 380. Oh, man, that would be nuts. So about 280, I could throw a pig. Felon, I can get anywhere from 300 to 350 pretty comfortably and do both. At about 330, I start getting dicey. Like in Keep 1000, I tried to throw my felon twice, my straight felon twice, 330, and both times it got a little straighter than I was anticipating it to do. So that's going to come with time as well. But, so there's these like 20-foot gaps, and the Justice serves that gap really well for me. Like if I really want to yam into something, I can give it 300 feet of power and know that it's going to fade at 280, kind of a deal. But the big thing that the Justice I found was I tried the Zone OS as a replacement. I tried the A2. The A2 is very close to the Justice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. There was one other disc that I threw in there for a little bit. Terminal Velocity Ursus.
Mm-hmm.
I tried that one as well. And the Justice for me, there's just a couple holes in town. And it's like, it's not just one particular course. It's this same flex forehand shot downhill
mm-hmm.
that for some reason I hit really well with a Justice. And everything else, I feel like I have to throw so hard on Anheuser that I end up blasting past the hole.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very similar if you think about hole four at Timbrook,
mm-hmm.
that downhill, instead of going right at it, just being able to just throw a slight flex
mm-hmm.
of something overstable and let it just chop through that fairway. That is the shot that I use the Justice for more than anything. Or like I'm in the woods and I have to flex around because pigs do not like to come out of Anheuser once they're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most overstable ones.
Yeah.
So I'm cycling through an overstable pig because I throw them so much and I rely on with a power forehand like I have, I need those things to be fading.
Yeah.
Like I need it to happen. Call me Mr. Pig is a purple pig in my bag and I mm-hmm. call it straight pig because that's what that slot is. And I know that if I throw a straight pig on a forehand trying to get it to go 280 feet, it's not going to fade.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm okay with that. Because I have another pig that fades, but the problem with base plastic pigs is I have not had one last for more than 3 months because of how often I throw my pigs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I ended up cycling. So if you think about that, I have 60 pigs in my collection, but I burn through at least 4 a year just in that overstable slot alone.
Right. Yeah. And then you have your other two shifting out as well.
Yeah, which does make the cycling very easy
mm-hmm.
because I have just two boxes of pigs. There's a bunch of freshies, and then there's a bunch of like, oh, these are too straight for me. These are waiting to serve straight pig slot. But those are the ones that I end up actually giving away a lot because for some people, they don't like the pig because it's so overstable mm-hmm. out of the box.
Right.
But if I give them straight pig, they're not going to throw it as much as I do. And it actually flies like an overstable approach just mm-hmm. for a lot of people. Yeah, so the Justice definitely serves that role for me, but I also am totally cool with backing down a Felon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To serve that slot as well. So the real question mark slot for me is we get to the fairways.
Right.
And Brad, let's talk about stinks because you know that your boy loves the stink.
I've heard that a few times.
And I mean, if you play with me, you'll see that stink fly. Mm-hmm. The amount of times that at New London I've pulled that purple, I have a purple Z stink, and I describe it to the boys as like every time we're on hole six, I can see it so clearly. We're around the corner. We're playing imposter. We're playing worst shot. We're playing whatever. And I always end up with a fairway shot on hole six.
That's true.
And I grab that sting and they're like, Robbie, that's going to turn over. And I'm like, it's not. Mm-hmm. I promise it's not. I'm going to throw it on so much hyzer and it's going to be fine. And they're like, yeah, okay, we'll see. And what does it do? Stands up, rides straight, and it drops. That's the beauty. Now, my ESP stings, trouble, because they will stand all the way up and mm-hmm. turn pretty comfortably. And I appreciate that. Yeah. Stings, I also give away a lot because for a while, you couldn't grab ESP stings anywhere.
Yeah.
And thankfully, they ran them and I have a surplus of them. I feel really good.
Yeah. And they've gone back to not running them. So just a heads up.
And that is, Brad and I had a conversation and that inspired literally this whole episode because mm-hmm. discs that I thought I was super excited to have in bag, suddenly Discraft decided, like Discraft had a stranglehold on my fairways. And Brad, there's a very real world that almost all of them are leaving because of these shifts.
Yeah, absolutely. So Yeah, I think Dischkraft's trying to do some new things. They're bringing, you know, they brought in the Cicada and various plastics and stuff this year. Obviously, the Passion's very successful, very good mover for that disc. So some of these other molds like the Stalker, like the Machete, like the Wasp, you know, may or may not be, you know, at least in Z plastic, we're not going to see them around much longer, I don't think. So we don't want to be back into a corner.
Yeah.
And
I bag two discontinued discs. I bag a Z Stalker and ESP Stink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. And I don't know if they're going to run the ESP Stink anymore. They just don't run it very often if they do. And yeah, the Stalkers are, the Z ones are, I think, are in trouble, Robbie. So yeah, we need to figure out, I think, we talked about the Felon, that's your overstable, that's your like go-to power forehand disc, but really we have these interesting, like kind of, they're not in a clump, they're like definitely spaced out where they need to be. You have like your Stings on like the slightly understable side, and you said your ESP one's like even a little more understable. Your Passion, just a good hyzer flip disc for you.
Yeah. Yeah, like especially these ESP Passions. So mm-hmm. I've got the 100K Passion from Foundation, same exact flight. The Robbie C Passion is what I have in my bag. And then the Connor Box had the Break 86 Passions. Mm-hmm. Like all of that run of ESP Passions, I feel like it's super easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
And they fly beautifully. It's that hyzer flip. They go really straight. The thing about that is I have like started to see that I'm using that as like a pseudo distance driver, more control driver type vibe, mm-hmm. instead of like a pure fairway, because I just get so much more distance out of the Passion than I do a Stalker right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very, very fascinating to me. I think because of the power shifts that I'm having, one of the big things that I'm seeing is like, I have to trust that my swing is working,
mm-hmm.
and know that if I give myself the crutch of having super flippy stuff,
mm-hmm.
when I hit it, it's going to do what that Origin did. And it's just going to stand all the way up and turn.
Right.
So I can't bank on having super, super flippy stuff
mm-hmm.
to help me with that. And I will commit more knowing that I have a little more overstable stuff in there, because if I don't commit, she's just not going to fly. Like it's not going to work. So I'm wanting to adjust this. So I think there's a world that the Z Sting, that purple one, has flown so well for me until the other day, last Saturday, where I played. It is a 490 foot par four. And it bends slightly left or right to left the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
I throw my Z Stink on hyzer. It stands up and it rides straight, and then it usually settles around that 325 area. I have an easy pitch in, take your three, walk away.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. This thing, Brad, stands all the way up, rides straight, and then turns
really?
For the last like 30% of the flight. And I looked at my card and was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's the ESP Sting's worst nightmare, mm-hmm. because the Z Sting has now flown like the ESP.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the ESP is coming out, which is nice because I am going to give away a lot of them. I'm going to just keep a box of them on my person. Mm-hmm. And when people are like, I'm looking for this, I'm not just going to, like, if you walk up and you're like, hey, can I have an ESP Sting? That's not going to be the way. But if we're just talking about the need for a disc.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bless some people with some ESP Stinks, because I can see that. The Z Stalk. Now, the Stalker is the most questionable part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Brad, what I need you to give me is honest therapy in, am I going to try to push mold minimalization too far in this process? Because I love the ESP Stalker.
Mm-hmm.
That disc is incredible. And I could see a world that an ESP stalker eventually, because I've seen Trevor do it with the Z stalker, I can see a world where the ESP stalker turns into what that Z sting is doing.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
But I wouldn't even be as afraid for the stalker to turn all the way over, because the stalker has some stability inside of it naturally,
mm-hmm.
which could be really nice. And if that happened, I could just like think about where on my chart I have two stings sitting right of the neutral line.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a world where the ESP sting leaves, Z sting flips one slot over into the mm-hmm. understable side? ESP stalker currently does fly now like that Z sting was.
Mm-hmm.
Hit it hard, it stands up, it rides straight, just settles. So I think that's already happened. Is there a world that instead of putting another new ESP stalker in there right now, I just let that one continue to beat in, and then I just put a brand new mold where the stalkers are currently?
Mm-hmm.
And I put two in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Just based on the rest of your bag, I mean, obviously your pigs and wizards are pretty minimalized, right? But it seems like you're having a lot of success and comfortability with your mid ranges, and there's no, I mean, other than the reactors, everything else is like different.
Yeah.
I think comes back to our discussion earlier of like, are you looking for the flight? Or are you looking for just discs? Right. Like that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
I think there's a great disc that you don't throw or haven't thrown that I think would be awesome in that slot, especially if the passion for you is more like a control driver. And we're just going to bump it up like in the felon category almost, and like that 9 speed, because you're kind of throwing it like a 9 speed or 10 yeah, speed.
For sure.
So really all we're dealing with in that 7 speed, like true fairway category, is like your stings, like you said, are a little right of neutral. They're in that understable category, and then your stalkers.
Yeah.
I think you have a whole world to play with on the left side, the more stable to overstable yeah. side.
The like 7502. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you, there are three options that I thought of here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've tried all three of them.
If there are two of what you're going to say, I probably bagged two of them, but yeah. Go ahead.
So one of them is the Eagle. I always go back mm-hmm. to the Eagle. I love the Eagle. I think the Eagle is probably one of my biggest crush discs.
Mm-hmm.
Not in terms of I crush it, but I have yeah. a crush on the Eagle. Mm-hmm. Like I always want the Eagle to be amazing. And then it's because I'm such a Calvin Heiberg fan.
Right.
I want to be Vinny. And so I want to be just ripping these Eagles, like right. Ezra talking about it on Brody's practice round of like, oh, everyone's throwing a forehand here. Yeah. Calvin will probably throw an Eagle.
That's
and
fair.
He did. He did multiple rounds. Mm-hmm. So, the Eagle is that option, but I'm like eliminating that. And this is where it's like, if I'm going to mold minimalize one of these other two, I don't see that much of a difference in flight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Frio.
Okay.
Because the Frio, I really like. I like the hand feel of it. I like how the Bravo plastic feels. Flies really great. It does not fly like the numbers suggest.
Mm-hmm.
Because the numbers, I think, call it a 7.5-1.1. No way, Jose. It's definitely got more stability than that is.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to how the Stalker does not have the stability that the numbers say it does.
Mm-hmm.
The Frio is like the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
So the Frio would be like, I could put a Frio in there and then have another slot available, because there's no point in putting two Frios in there, because mm-hmm. they're going to fly the exact same. And plastic, I don't personally... The Lone Star guys, the Ranger team, come to the rescue here, all of you. Does the Alpha and the Bravo really fly that different in the Frio? Because I don't think it does. Mm-hmm. And the Charlie, I'm pretty sure you can only get Charlie Frios if you're like actually on the team. So or Founders Frios. I don't know what Charlie is. Anyways, besides his chocolate factory.
Mm-hmm.
The third option is probably the one that is in your bag, the Evader.
Yep, that immediately, that was what I was thinking. I feel like for you, it's like such a, it's like the felon's little brother. And I feel like it would be a really nice compliment. And thinking about how many hundreds of thousands of plastic varieties you could get in that. Again, maybe not minimalizing in the sense of like you're taking an existing mold that's in there and you're minimalizing that. But I think the Evader might give you a lot of options on the other side to kind of minimalize. So I like the Evader choice. I've fallen in love with the Evader. I think it's a great, great disc. I just feel like I can throw it so far, and it has like that nice, like straight flight. And then the last 40% just like a pushing gentle hyzer out of it. And I love it. The other mold I was going to suggest, which seems like maybe not the option for you, but it's a very specific option. So it's like very anti mold minimalization. Oh. But
okay.
I think you need a C-line green FD is what I think you
need.
Because that, and Discmania plastic experts, please let me know. I believe it's the green and maybe the red or purple. I can't remember, but there's a couple colors that are way more overstable than you would believe. Mm. And I also don't think there's anything wrong with, I mean, you might, and I don't know. With as much as you play, and if you were throwing it a lot, you may have to, it may be a pig situation where you're cycling often. I do seem to think that the C-line plastic tends to hold up pretty well.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything wrong. Again, the Passion is getting kicked up in kind of like the control driver category. I don't think there's anything wrong with a disc you can trust to like hyzer flip and carry straight, but have like decent fade at the end to kind of like complement what your stalker is like, where it's like flip up, it's not going to turn, it's just going to go straight and settle.
Yeah.
You know, and again, your arm is very different than mine, so that it would maybe take some experimenting, but I think specifically like a green or one of the more overstable colors of the FD might be an interesting play for you. And maybe that, maybe it's a Vader and that. Maybe you just like bulk out that fairway category.
Yeah. I'll tell you, here's my, and this is content creator Robbie coming out in terms of I have to hold true to my morals and my values, right?
Right.
And I don't, this is something that I know that I care about maybe unnecessarily, but mm-hmm. I still like it is a passion of mine. Is because I am unsponsored by all of these companies or not mm-hmm. sponsored by all of these companies, it's very tough for me to be like, oh, let one company start slowly overtaking it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I look at this and I'm like, all right, I got three pigs, a polecat, a Rollo. And that's all the Innova that I have in my bag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So five of, the mouse is not working. There she is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 times 4 is 24. So I got 25 discs in my bag. So five of 25, 25% of it, or 20% of it is
Innova.
I'm fine with that, especially because it's pigs and polecats. Like, and the Rollo, we've already talked about, not long mm-hmm. for this world. Wizards. Honestly, love Gateway. Very excited. Trying to work with them for the year. I'm okay with multiple wizards being in there. That's cool. And two of them are putting putters.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have MVP. Honestly, a really small presence in my back. It's just the reactors.
Right.
That's actually a little crazy.
For sure.
But I do think that is a weak part of their lineup, like that, because it's like you have the Crave and then you jump to the Volt.
Yeah.
And I like recommending the Crave. The Crave and I do not get along.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about the Crave. I know a lot of people rave about the Crave. Sorry, brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Great disc for everybody else. Just, mm-hmm. I don't know why. Discmania Origin probably soon to be a second Origin, because I would imagine the Rolo will kick out, Origin will shift over, and then a brand new Origin will slap in. Like, done. But Trilogy...
Nine.
Trilogy's taken over.
Yeah, so you can't put the Evader in there.
Justice, two Felons, and then six Trilogy drivers.
Yeah, that's tough. Tough look.
Like... And that's where chat and like commenters, I just want you to know, I understand that I'm being silly. Like, I get it. But also, there's someone out there who makes a lot of content and they're trying. They're trying so hard. And they're on Team Trilogy right now, which is a fan-based group.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting the empty promise over and over again of, if you just stick with us, eventually we might move you up to one of the dynamic Trilogy, or like one of the dynamic Lat or West Side team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working their butt off. And Trilogy's looking at me saying, well, Robbie is just showcasing these discs and we're not paying him a dime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough look. Tough look.
And it's like, I'm not trying to be so narcissistic that like, I'm that important. I really am trying to view it from the standpoint of like, I want you as a content creator for Trilogy to be able to approach you, you and all 400 subscribers you have, for them to be able to approach you and you'd be like, hey, can I get free plastic? And that's great for you right now.
Mm.
I want to open those doors. So that's where the Evader and I struggle.
Yeah.
So another option that I didn't consider, because I realized if I pull the Stalkers and a Sting out, Discraft goes from having a nice presence to like, they're gone.
Right.
What about the Athena? Because I feel like you've thrown the Athena way more than I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's basically that same slot. It comes down to, and I just liked the Evader more. I like the hand feel of it a little bit more than I do the Athena. But yeah, that's actually a great choice. I completely forgot about that. Another one, here's a random one. How about the Vela from Millennium?
I have considered that as well, because then I'm like, not only am I keeping my Vinny vibes alive, I'm like actually holding a Vinny disc.
Yeah, and that's a whole new vibe. And again, it's described as like kind of a beaten eagle, right? Like a slightly beaten, I mean, that might not be a bad choice at all.
Yeah. Huh. Options to consider. So this is where chat, I would love your input for you guys to look and go, okay, here's what we're thinking. Here's some ideas. If you were filling this slot, what are you going with? And looking at, I've got two Stings, two Stalkers. And here's the thing, is the Z Stalker's in there right now? And I love the Z Stalker. I think it's phenomenal. But it's going to be discontinued. So there will be a finite amount of them. And honestly, in the last few months, I don't know why. Maybe I'm like taking riskier lines than I need to. But I've lost more Z Stalkers than any other mold besides Meteors.
Right.
Meteors are in a bad place for me right now because I cannot keep a Meteor in my bag for more than a round. Mm-hmm. That is tough. But Z Stalkers, I've lost two Z Stalkers in the last few months. And like the last one that I physically own is currently in my bag. And so I think it's just time to look at some alternatives, especially if they're not going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
I like being able to throw stuff that's available, not only because I want to be able to throw it, but I have a really hard time if I play with you during a round or I'm showing it in a video and then you're like, wow, that is kind of cool. Oh yeah, no, this is, it's a Prodigy situation. It's the Bowling Green D3s. Like, I want to be able to throw stuff that y'all are looking at and going, yeah, I could go get that.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I am too. Cause I took that Innova Made FD out of my bag for the sake of like, I don't want to get attached to that thing and not be able to throw it. There's obviously some like fun stuff in my bag, but nothing is like so out of the ordinary that anyone couldn't find it pretty easily. You know what I mean? Minus like the Eagle Envy, right? That's new, but they're going to make more of those. Like, it's not going to be Sexton Firebird. They make more of those, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm that way too. I love having cool stamps or unique dies, that sort of thing, but I don't want to get attached to a disc that I can't find, or it's going to cost me like $80 a pop. Then I'm just not going to have fun playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, and also in the comments, help us out again, Discmania folks, on the C-Line Plastic, which is the most, the collar's more overstable. Because what I really want to see Robbie C do is throw some FDs. As a guy who carries a lot of FDs in his bag and loves the FD.
Yeah.
I really want to see that, Robbie. Yeah. And hey, and I might even have a few to send you, just saying.
I was saying, maybe that's a video I end up doing, is I end up doing the, it would be the FD versus the Athena versus the Vela. Yeah, I think those three different companies. Because if I were to say where I likely will settle the bag, like when I leave this episode, is that ESP Sting is going to come out, Z Sting is going to shift over, ESP Stalker is going to stay in. I'll probably get another new ESP Stalker that I have and put it in, and then either in that Z Stalker spot, put a, let's see, because I'm going to have two slots available. No, right. Yeah. So a new Stalker in and the current ESP Stalker slot, and then an Athena or a Vela or an FD. One of those three is going in. That slot, because I think that's the best way to do it right now, is I'm familiar with an ESP Stalker. I know what a brand new one does. So right. I have that opportunity, and then just letting the Z's, like whatever that one is, shine on its own, and then see how it seasons to see if it pushes
the other out,
the other Stalker out.
Oh, last minute contention, the Cookie.
Cookie could be it as well. I will say that while I love the idea of the rounded rims, they feel really cool. I don't know why. I struggle with nose angle on the rounded rims more than anything else, because like I really wanted the soda. I got this Diet Coke soda behind me that Rick Peavy dyed for me. It's amazing. And I didn't want it to be a wall hanger, but it's an understable disc, and because I cannot get the nose down on it, it just doesn't fly like a soda at all.
Yeah.
But the Clash, I like some Clash plastic.
Just an option.
Yeah. I'll throw the Cookie in the mix in this video force. It'll be like a, maybe it's like nine holes. And for the first three holes, or like the first four holes, two are like, it's like a head to head,
like a bracket. Deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
And hey, I think we also, next time you're Lynchburg, you and I should do a bag swap video.
I'm here for it.
Just watch you kill it with my bag and just, you know, just clone it over.
Hey, come on. Come on. I'm here for it. Well, y'all, this has been a funky episode for sure. And we've talked about a lot of plastic. I hope that you guys enjoyed this rant, because it felt a little ranty at times, but also like just insight into not only like how I'm trying to build my bag and attack my bag, but there's that whole 5 to 10 minute conversation on like just brands and overselling to one brand or another is something that I very much focus on, whether that's good or bad. I don't know. Like truly, I don't know. In my mind, it's good because I truly am trying to help the content creator space. Mm-hmm. That's my dream. And that's a mark that I want to help in disc golf with, because I would love to see more people be able to do what I get to do for a living.
Right.
In the creator space. So I got to protect my people. But we did talk about a lot of plastic, but I'm sure we haven't talked about everything that's new in the warehouse, Brad.
Yeah. So this week, we have, a full elevation disc restock. If that's your jam, they did release, the Koi and Glow plastic. Let's see, the Interceptor and Glow. We have a restock of some of like the Gecko and the Arowana and both Glow and regular, OG. We also have their new disc, which is called the Psychic Overstable Fairway.
Oh, yeah, the driver. Or is it a fairway?
It's a distance, I think.
Come on.
Yeah, so, hey, I've seen you Elevation folks out there tear it up. If that's your thing, then we got a lot of stuff there for you. So check out all that. A lot of cool new colors. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. It all this is Thursday. It released on Thursday, but I'm sure there'll still be some around for Friday, so make sure you check it out. Let's see. Discmania released some cool stuff. The Cosmic Fury 2 came out this week. We also had the 10-year anniversary FD3 that came out.
Yeah.
And a Metal Flake, I think it's Glow, DD also came out this week. So very cool, interesting plastic from Discmania this week. We're putting up a full DGA restock as we speak. It may all be up by Friday. If not, it's going to keep going up over the next few days. But all the DGA molds you know and love, the Sail, the Quake, the Steady. I mean, we have all kinds of, like, literally every one of their molds we have going up this week. Just want to make sure that's available to you. Team DGA has some sneaky heat for, like, younger players this year. So I look for them to do very well as a brand this year.
Pipeline.
Pipeline. Yeah, that's about to be my new favorite mold. Hey, that is, yeah, for you too. See, that 7502 slot, there's a ton of good stuff.
I mean, so many options.
And I'll be having that in my bag for the bag challenge, which, stay tuned, that may be happening here in the coming weeks. So just keep that. We have DGA restock going up. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Big one that's going up. Robbie, you may have a little something to do with this. We've got a restock of some Robbie C. pigs up in the store. Yeah. Something we're going to try to have in stock often for you guys. You guys love them. They get sold out constantly, which is great. Thank you for that support. But hey, make sure you check out those if you're a Robbie C. fan, if you're a pig fan, then...
I was blown away, y'all, by the number of people who came up at the expo and were like, oh, do you have any pigs available? I'm so grateful that there are pig farmers out there continuing to grow and continuing to shine. And we literally, like, we have Birdie Fam Takes Over Birmingham happening next week. And we talked about it and we were like, really? I think the last time that we ran Robbie C. Pigs was like right after I signed with Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we just not had them since. The sub box. But like the sub box was an exclusive thing. So Robbie C. Pigs available, and there's a small batch of them. So
yeah, make sure you get them soon. Also, speaking of subscription box, we have, this is going to be airing in March. But hey, there'll be some open in March. The February box, for those of you who got it, was complete, as the kids say, fire. And it was awesome. You get four discs. They're all custom. But hey, it was a celebration. It was a 5-year anniversary box. This next month, so March, our subscription box, we're going back to a theme. I'll spoil the theme.
Exclusive here.
It's going to be the Fieldwork box.
Mm.
And it's going to be focused on discs that are great for, it's springtime, get back out in the field, do some work, do some form work. All of these discs are going to be designed specifically for you to do that. And again, spoiler, there will be a custom disc. That's never guaranteed, but we're pretty much doing it every time now. So you're going to have a custom stamp disc in that and a couple other discs to help you with that form work and the swag item, which I cannot spoil.
Oh,
it is unlike any that we've ever done. I'll just say that. That's a good hint. And we're working with another company on it. So I'm going to tell Robbie after this podcast, because I don't think he even knows.
It's $1 million.
Yeah. It's money.
The company is the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, now there's a million, there may be shards of dollar bills. You have to collect them all and put them together, right? So don't come at us, federal government. We do not tamper with currency.
Yeah, we don't shred currency. No. Stop listening.
Yeah. So, so let's wrap it up. I hear an FBI agent at the door, Robbie, but you know, hey, if it's good, keep it out of the FBI's hands and keep it in the bag. We'll see you all next week.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
This Black Music Month, State Farm wants to take a moment to appreciate all the ways Black music brings everyone together. From the Saturday morning soundtrack that gets the whole family cleaning the house, to the beats at the block parties that bring the whole community together, celebrate the impact of Black music this month and beyond with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.